Tech, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are putting the band back together here. It's almost springtime. Happy March to all of you out there not marching through the streets of Kiev or anywhere else. And Maryland Lottery is going to be putting together the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We get back out on the road. Got a full schedule. We're going to be this week at Mama's on the Half Shell on Friday from 2 until 5. Stop down at Canton. I got buddies stopping down. And I'm sure we're going to be having hubcap margaritas before it's all over with. We'll be at El Guapo on the 10th. That's next Thursday. Don Moeller and I are going to put that together over in Catonsville. Acostas on the 18th. That will be there for the aftermath of St. Patrick's Day. And then on the 23rd, we get back down to the homestead in Lexington Market at Fadley's. God, I can't wait to get a crab cake down there. I've been saving myself. You know, I'm wearing my Costa shirt right now. Luke, I can't begin to tell you now I live out in the burbs how many times I picked up the car keys, put the wallet together, thought, I'm going to go over to Costa's and get a crab cake. I can't do it. I'm going to have a lot of crab cakes. So I haven't done it yet. I did get some crab soup last week as well. How are you? What's going on with you other than sitting around waiting? I mean, hey, dude, I could have dragged your ass to Indianapolis this week and wrecked both of us, right?
Well, that would have been more relevant than waiting on the baseball lockout to end at the very least. I mean, we know there's going to be business conducted at the combine this week. It's not necessarily going to be a lot of at the forefront headline news as it pertains to the Ravens. But as you know, Nestor, we're not just talking about draft prospects at the combine. As much as that's the attention that NFL Network gives it, there's so much business being done. As much as we always joke about that two-day tampering window before the start of free agency, the tampering has already begun. The tampering has been going on for several weeks. I think with things getting more normal now on the backside of the pandemic, what it was 2 years ago compared to what it was last year, compared to what it will be this year in Indy, I think you'll see more business being done, you know, in some of the bars and St. Elmo's and shrimp cocktails and all that goes on in Indy. You'll see some business being conducted, over a drink, over a margarita, whatever it might be. But I think, this is the time of year where the off season, it feels like it's starting to get a little more real. The franchise tag window has opened. We know at this point, it's kind of teams are making their last pitch, trying to re-sign their own before their own hit the market. We know how tricky that can be when you're talking about the likes of Bradley Bozeman and Anthony Averett, Deshaun Elliott, Calais Campbell being a big one. What's going to happen with Brandon Williams and his future? So, all those names, not saying any of those guys are going to get a deal between now and mid-March when the new league year opens. But, this is kind of that time where you're starting the, not the finish line because it's the beginning of it, but a business really starts to pick up. And I think there's a little more urgency and, lots of important work being done this week as it pertains to the 2022 NFL draft.
Of course, all of Luke's reports in Owings Mills and beyond. And, I even said to Dennis last week, we'd be in Sarasota right now if there was a normal baseball owner. Just if they, if we were like a normal place with a normal franchise, with normal, if we were the Tigers, if we were the Cardinals, if we were the Rockies, if we were just normal, maybe the Rockies aren't normal, but if we were just normal, this would be you and me in Sarasota. One of us would be going to Indianapolis because the combine would be important and we'd be on this sports clock. And instead we got wars and plagues and we haven't had any famine yet because I'm eating well here. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. And you're going by Rofo. By the way, I got some Rofo fried chicken the other day. Outrageous. Had my first Western fry of the year over the weekend as well with some ketchup. It was delicious. That the background on all of this with combine and money and Calais Campbell and Brandon, all the side dishes, right? The meal is Lamar here, right? And let's really take a dive because I did this with Dennis because this really sits much more so than sports radio or people calling in or saying something on Twitter about him, his mother, his agent, his contract situation. He's throwing footballs down in Florida. The idea here is cost certainty for the Ravens and cap certainty for the Ravens. And the fact that Lamar has a 30 $7 million number, a $35 million number, a $41 million, whatever that is, just having the certainty. The one thing the Ravens have this year is they have a number on him at, you know, with $22, $23 million. You do the capology on it for me, but they know where they are, and I don't know that there's any spinning gun on the Ravens to do this other than finding the 24 and 25 and 26 balance sheets that Pat Moriarty can put together so that Eric could mortgage the farm to sign, I don't know, a safety they like or whoever they like, a tackle they like, whatever they would want to do financially is tied to Lamar over the next 3 or 4 years. And the quicker he signs and takes the $75 million that they're waving in front of him, right, in cash, the quicker that happens, the easier it is for Eric to manage the franchise. And that's just a fact, right? I mean, I think that goes unspoken, but I think it's something that, quite frankly, keeps Eric up at night more than will he or won't he, or will he stay healthy or won't he stay healthy. It's just more like it affects everything else in the franchise financially in regard to what you can spend in other places when you have a $40 million quarterback. And they knew this with Joe Flacco.
Yeah, I mean, and you just said it, and I think you made the good point that, I mean, he's set to make $23.106 million this year. And let's face it, that is a pretty reasonable, manageable number relative to what quarterbacks are making at the top of the market right now. I think I looked at it. I don't have the list in front of me right now, but you know, it's not as though he's got a top 4 or 5 cap number in the league. I mean, he's not close to that. I mean, quarterbacks, as you know, what they're making now is a whole lot more than even Joe Flacco was making. Now,
well, that champagne that Patrick Mahomes was drinking a couple years ago, right? Like, that starts to cost the Chiefs football players now, right? Like, literally, that they can't afford to keep football players. And, you know, we had that around here where we kept Ray and John and Ed and Suggs and Flacco. We kept great players here for periods of time. This is the guy right now. And this is where it gets entangled, right? The negotiations entangle because he doesn't have professional representation. And I say that again. He doesn't have professional representation in regard to a $100 million contract. It's a little tender on the Ravens side because they don't usually do business like this.
Yeah, I mean, it's unique. It's not unprecedented in terms of football players. I mean, well, Richard Sherman's one that comes to mind who negotiated a deal, although keep in mind, later portion of his career where he had already negotiated a bigger, you know, quote, second contract with Seattle at the time. And, you know, that we're talking later on, he did that without representation. It's unique. And certainly when you're talking about the quarterback position, it's very unique. And I think what's so interesting about it, Nestor, is, you know, we've seen quarterback contracts go in some different directions. I mean, we all remember Kirk Cousins a few years back where, you know, he gets this fully guaranteed, 3-year deal, I think it was. Everything's guaranteed. And everyone thought, okay, maybe this is going to be a turning point where this isn't the best quarterback in football, but this is a quarterback who clearly had demand on the market after Washington did whatever the hell they were trying to do with him in their quarterback situation. Fast forward years later, you still don't know what they're trying to do, but that point is neither here nor there. But you saw that. You saw Mahomes get the 10-year, you know, $450 million, $500 million, however you want to look at it. And it's got phony money in there, and it's one of those deals that does feel advantageous for the Chiefs as it goes on longer. Now, in the short term, it's more challenging. But then you have a deal like what Dak Prescott did with the Cowboys, where you're talking about, you know, a 4-year deal, and then he's going to get another bite at the apple right around, age 30, I guess it is. So, you know, there's different ways to do this, and we've seen some structures go in some slightly different directions. It's a lot of money regardless. I mean, let's be very clear. Everything I just laid out, you're talking about massive financial commitments, whether it's $75 million guaranteed, 80, you know, whether it's $100 million in the first, I don't know, 3 years. You know, however, again, you know, whatever your flavor of ice cream is you prefer, fine. But when you do have a player, a very unique talent, a very accomplished talent who's already been an MVP, has already been a 2-time Pro Bowl quarterback, so in that sense, doesn't really have you know, this isn't Joe Flacco, who was, you know, above average quarterback at his best, but going into his contract year, hadn't won a Super Bowl, hadn't been to a Pro Bowl, hadn't been an MVP. You know, Lamar's got a resume at this point. He does. I mean, regardless of what anyone wants to say, he's accomplished a lot at this point from an individual accolade standpoint. But what does he want? What is he looking for? And that's where you look at this thing and he doesn't have representation. And if you're the Ravens, you're trying to treat this in a very delicate way, like you would with any player who doesn't have an agent. We've talked about that, Nestor. I mean, this is why arbitration has always been so problematic in baseball. You know, you have a team and their lawyer going into the arbitration process basically saying, well, these are the reasons why we don't like this guy and why we don't think he's worth $2.7 million as opposed to $2 million. And we'll go down our list of A, B, C, D. And there's hurt feelings, you know, and that's why you try to avoid that process. So with that in mind, when you are Eric DaCosta, when you are Pat Moriarty and the Ravens brass trying to structure a deal, yeah, you want to be fair. Yeah, you don't want it to be a case where you're trying to tick off your franchise quarterback. At the same time, with him not having representation and not knowing what his priorities, what does he prioritize in a deal? Is it, you know, something that's a flatter structure? Is it just as much guaranteed money and with the signing bonus?
Well, there has to be a professional counter offer when an offer is made, right?
Exactly.
Like somebody comes and offers me $75 million in cash. First thing I'm doing is finding somebody way friggin' smarter than me to figure out. Yes, I'll take your, that's, it's very nice of you. That's very, but then you come back and say, well, I want 76 or yes, this is a good, yes, or no, I want 176 or whatever it is. Right. But at some point you get this done and protect your family. I think, right. Like all of us on the outside look at this and say, this kid runs into linebackers. He hasn't played in 3 months. Come in, put your feet up on the desk, get the best deal you can. If they offer you 75, ask for 90. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But I mean, get an agent, get a representative, get a professional. I don't know what else to say, but they got to get this done. I don't know. He should get this done. I guess the Ravens.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting in the Ravens chair, I'm not. We talk about this more than Eric DaCosta thinks about this, I'm sure. Believe me.
Well, you just made the point, and I remember us talking about this a year ago, because clearly this has been something that from a fan interest standpoint, from a media interest standpoint, it's been out there for a while now, right? I mean, this isn't new. We were talking about the contract a year ago. The difference is you are a year later down the timeline. You're a year closer to, you know, we're now talking a year away from him theoretically hitting the market. You know, he wouldn't. They would use the franchise tag. So as much as franchise tag chatter is non-existent as it pertains to the Ravens right now, because they don't have a candidate for the tag. I mean, you're not going to tag Patrick Ricard or someone like that. But the urgency level has picked up a little bit, you would think, from his side. I agree with you. But if you are the Ravens, it goes back to what I said. I mean, I have it pulled up right now, the cap numbers for 2022. And again, this is going to change because guys are going to restructure their deals. Guys are going to get extended. Certain quarterbacks might get released. If you're talking about, you know, a Carson Wentz kind of guy, I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen. But you look at these deals. You know, you have cap numbers. I think the highest cap number going into combine week is Matt Ryan at 48.662. Now, again, that's further down the road and restructures and things of that nature. Aaron Rodgers, 46. Kirk Cousins, who I just mentioned a few minutes ago, 45 million. So, you know, you look at the cash spent.
That's unbelievable.
Right. I mean, that's
Kirk
what I'm
Cousins
saying.
Is that's an unbelievable contract for him, huh?
Right, right. And all guaranteed, too, right? I mean, that's why that was such an interesting contract at the time, but that's why you look at these deals and just look at it in terms of cash spent, which is probably more relevant when you're talking about Lamar essentially being on a one-year contract right now with this being the fifth-year option. But cash spent, Josh Allen just signed, of course, recently, $47 million this year. Deshaun Watson, 35. Kirk Cousins, 35. Patrick Mahomes, 29.4. So you go down this list, I mean, you have upwards of
Like
a dozen quarterbacks getting upwards of $23 million. So, and Lamar's at the bottom of that list, like 11th or 12th. So from that standpoint, in a very simple dollars and cents standpoint for 2022, are you comfortable with Lamar being one of the 11 or 12 highest paid quarterbacks in football in terms of cash spent this year? Absolutely. I mean, I sleep fine with that. So from that standpoint, yeah, in an ideal world, you'd get a long-term deal done this offseason, and you could structure it in a way to lower his cap figure from 23.1 to, say, I don't know, 16. You know, you could clear $7 million in terms of cap space that you could go sign a safety or an offensive lineman or a defensive tackle, you know, whatever you fancy. But again, we're not talking about a cap figure here that is so prohibitive where you're just like, oh my goodness, you know, the Falcons looking at Matt Ryan's cap number right now, that's prohibitive. I mean, that's, you look at that and you're saying, oh my gosh, I mean, $48.6 million is his cap figure. He's making $23.75 in cash this year. He's not the Matt Ryan of 5 years ago. I mean, that's a problematic cap number right there. So from that standpoint, to the point that you just made a few minutes ago, the Ravens have urgency in a big picture sense, because you don't want this hanging over Lamar's head. You don't want this hanging over the organization's head. They clearly, I mean, just about every quarterback has question marks, right? I mean, there's no perfect quarterback. I mean, even Patrick Mahomes kind of showed that this year. As much as we were ready to just say, okay, this guy's going to win six straight Super Bowls and be the next Tom Brady, doesn't work out that way. But Lamar, clearly, they've done a lot of winning since he's been their quarterback. Last year's, you know, last six games of the season aside, they've won at a pretty high clip. It doesn't mean he's perfect. Doesn't mean,
well, the other thing is they built the entire franchise around him.
Exactly.
So everything they draft for, every way they scout now for him over the next 2 to 4 years, it's all about having these running backs, having these offensive linemen, having these shifty, yak guys out, you know, out in the open, and Hollywood Browns and tight ends. It's all of that, right? So they're not signing Matt Ryan on the end or looking for Aaron Rodgers right now to replace Lamar, because he'll sneak out the side door. So to talk about it as a, he might not be here. Oh, he'll be here. I mean, unless he's not worth being here for them, he'll be here because they built everything for him. So none of that's in question. The only question is whether the Ravens will have $7 million to your point to spend this year against the cap, right?
Yeah. But what's interesting from his side, I mean, as much as you look at it from the standpoint of, okay, Lamar's trying to pull a Joe Flacco, and if he goes out and wins another MVP and leads the Ravens, you know, even if they don't win the Super Bowl, let's say they go to the Super Bowl, or let's say they go to the AFC Championship and they lose, you know, in a Billy Cundiff, Lee Evans heartbreaking kind of way. And I know people right now are cursing me for even saying that out loud, but let's say there's some very legitimate bounce back from where Lamar was, where the Ravens were in 2021. Then yeah, he puts himself in position to, you know, kind of scoff at whatever the Ravens offer is and say, yeah, you got to do better than that.
Matt Ryan had a $48 million cap number. He didn't win anything.
I mean, Joe Flacco, look at what the Ravens were offering him in 2011, you know, or going into 2012, compared to what he got in February of 2013. I mean, it changes. But even though I agree with everything you just said in terms of them being committed and them still wanting Lamar and still believing in Lamar, you do run the risk of, you have another season like 2021, and you know he's turning the ball over more than you'd like, and not as efficient throwing the ball as he was a couple years ago again. And heaven forbid he has another, you know, even if it's not a catastrophic injury, but another injury that costs him some time, then maybe the Ravens are looking at it differently a year from
or
now.
Or something that slows him down by a nick.
Right,
anything
right.
That slows him down by this much changes his life, like it did Jimmy Smith, like it, you know, it does anybody that uses their wheels, period, right?
Sure. So from that standpoint, that's why I look at this from his perspective. If it were me, and again, look, Lamar, it's his life, and people in his circle can advise him however they want. And it's not to say that he doesn't have, you know, people that have some knowledge of contracts and finances and things of that nature advising him. But at the same time, I look at this and say, you don't have, if the standard for getting a contract in the NFL, quarterback contract in the NFL, is winning a Super Bowl, look at the last 20 years. I mean, it's not a very long list. I mean, it's been Tom Brady, and okay, I mean, you can look at some other guys that have won, but it's really difficult to do. I mean, Josh Allen didn't have to win a Super Bowl to get a massive contract. I mean, go down the list of guys that have gotten paid who You know, Matthew Stafford's made a lot of money in his career and just finally won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Matt Ryan's made a lot of money and won anything.
So that's where I look at this and this whole notion of Lamar betting on himself. As much as an athlete, as a competitor, I can admire that to a degree. From a financial standpoint, from a business standpoint, I look at him and say, you've already accomplished a whole lot. You don't have to do that. You should be getting yours right now. You shouldn't even be taking that chance going into it. It was different for Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco wasn't, you know, a multi-time Pro Bowl quarterback. He never sniffed a regular season MVP. I mean, it's apples to oranges in that, looking at it through that lens. Now, playoff success and all that, we can talk about that. But that's where I look at this and I just say, you know, I hope he's got enough people around him. Look, he's an adult. Let's be clear about that. I don't want this to sound like we're treating Lamar like he's a teenager or something like that. He's an adult. He's been in the league. He's won. And, you know, he's been a very successful, NFL quarterback. But
how much money has he made? $10 million, $12 million?
Somewhere in that neighborhood. Yeah.
Side endorsement, this or that. Somebody slid something for.
Sure. He's made money, but he hasn't made insane money, right? For someone who has a pretty insane first four years of his career. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's where I just look at this and say, you know, don't get caught up in chasing the absolute most and run the risk of losing what's already very lucrative. We're not talking about Lamar, you know, becoming the 10th highest paid quarterback in football. The question is going to be whether he is first, second, third, fourth. You know, it's going to be somewhere there. I mean, that's where it should be. So I would say this, if the Ravens are offering less than that, then I would tell, if I were Lamar, I would tell them to kick rocks, you know? So that's, again, you kind of go back and forth, but at the same time, to your point, if you're going to have negotiating, you've got to be in the room together and talking about it. And it doesn't seem like that's really, you know, I mean, Eric said it during his press conference, they had met what, a half dozen times over the last calendar year or so. You know, certainly some numbers have been thrown out there. You don't meet that many times without some numbers being thrown out there, but you just don't get the sense that there's been a whole lot of back and forth in that regard. So if Lamar is comfortable with that, which if it were me, I would tell him you shouldn't be, but hey, I'm a guy sitting here talking about this and, you know, I'll never know what it's like to get a $75 million guarantee or anything like that. But at the same time, you look at it, the Ravens side. Yeah. From a long-term stability standpoint, from a long-term financial planning standpoint, cap planning standpoint. Yeah. You want to get this done at some point in the near future, but as it pertains to 2022, if you tell Eric DaCosta and the Ravens that Lamar's deal will be $23.1 million for this year, and that's his cap number, they'll say, okay, I mean, we'd like to lower it in a perfect world, but at the same time, you know, we're comfortable with paying him that amount of cash for 2022. So that's where you kind of, you know, it's not at an impasse, because I think they're both these individuals have their phones on and the door is always open. Eric said that publicly.
We go back to Indianapolis and he's tampering and scratching a pen with somebody over Eggs Benedict in the morning, looking contract, how much money he has to spend. That certainty going into this week, specifically 2 weeks from now when things happen, it changes things if Lamar signs. So I guess that was the beginning of the whole conversation, right?
Sure. No question. I mean, again, I'm not saying the Ravens wouldn't benefit from Lamar signing right now, because as we said, you know, whether it's 7, 8, 9 million, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood, I mean, you're not going to lower it. It's not as though you're lowering his, him signing a deal is not going to lower his cap number to where it was the last couple of years, where it was $2.5 million. I mean, those days are long gone at this point.
Maybe you get one of those special personal services contracts with Mr. Bisciotti, the way Tom Brady once did with Bob Kraft, huh?
Yeah, right, right. So, again, in a perfect world, yeah, you'd get this done and you'd have an idea of where you're going over the next 4 years, but that's not where they are right now. And to your point, talking about Indy, you know, Lamar doesn't have that agent where Pat Moriarty, you know, whether it's a guy he has a relationship with or not. I mean, you know, relationships are so big with the way these deals come together, whether you're talking about someone you resign or someone else's free agent. But, you know, how many times in Indy has there been the contract guy for an organization meeting up with the agent for star player, mid-range player, whoever. And, you know, they're having a couple drinks, you know, but at 12:30 in the morning. And, you know, they hammer out. Maybe they don't get the deal done right there and then, but they hammer out the big parameters. And then you get a deal done in the next week or two after that. But with Lamar not having that representation, that forum presumably is not even in play. So that's where, again, you go back to this being a very unique negotiation, very unique, as Eric DaCosta even described it during his press conference. So, you know, we'll see when and if it comes together, or who knows, Nestor, a year from now, we might be talking about this. But in those terms, we know it would very much be a case of Lamar's getting the franchise tag, and we know what kind of potential fallout there can be with that.
Then it would be very much, did he make the playoffs? Did they win 9 games or 12? Did they win games in January? I mean, it was a whole different resume, right? That's where you get into the Flacco thing of, what have you done for me lately? And to your point, you brought up the Billy Cundiff, Lee Evans game. Flacco could walk in for 9 months and say, I threw the pass that would have put us in the Super Bowl. Yeah. I had us on the goal line. And he was at that point. So there was that. That's, you know, I sat and talked to him about it when I wrote Purple Rain 2. So I sort of saw, I got the whole story out of from his lips in long form. So it had some drama to it. I guess Lamar's thinking the same thing, right? I mean, that's maybe they're cut from the same cloth, and maybe we said that about Flacco that summer, but he did almost throw the pass that got us into the, you know, like we were at a different place at that point and wondering whether that would ever happen again. And it did, which made it even a better story, right? But Lamar and whatever he's doing, the one thing I'll say about Lamar, anybody, and I don't know the kid well, but I know enough people around him and I've been doing this a long time. He's got a sort of canai, you know, constant never ending improvement thing going on, you know, like he's working on getting better right now. I don't think he's out finding new habits or hobbies that don't include football, because that's what he does, right? Like that's the word on him. And we've seen him make these improvements, you know, these plateaus. It's never a straight line, but we've seen him improve in leaps and bounds. You know, I guess when he's put his mind to it, but more than that, when he has the talent around him. I think we all were expecting this blossoming to happen last year because guys were going to run the football and the Gus Bus and Reddick and, you know, all these things were going to happen, and they didn't. And I think if those things happen, we speak of Lamar in a different tone.
But yeah. And I think, I think for me, what was so frustrating looking at it through that lens is what he looked like throwing the ball through the first 5-6 games of the season. I mean, we all remember what he did against Indianapolis in that fourth quarter. I mean, that was every bit as impressive as anything Dan Marino, John Elway. I mean, any classic great.
Yeah, put the last 20 minutes of that game on and just watch it. Right.
Yeah. I mean, regardless of, you know, it was week 5, like I'm not even talking in terms of regular season, postseason, just the skill set, like what he did over the final 16, 17 minutes of that football game was just, it was incredibly impressive. And, you know, he was answering the questions about throwing the deep ball, and he was leading the league in yards per completion and all that. And then it went sideways, and it's not as though he's absolved from any blame. I mean, he was turning the ball over too much. There were definitely times where, okay, the pass protection's not up to snuff. Other times the pass protection was there. And, you know, to borrow an expression, talking about Sam Darnold a couple years ago, where he was seeing ghosts, or he was not having the proper pocket awareness. So you just saw it go sideways. I mean, it went sideways for everyone.
Missed things, right?
Didn't see it. Went sideways. It basically went sideways for everyone not named Mark Andrews on that offense, and maybe Kevin Zeitler. So that's where it's frustrating, because it felt like it was such a pivotal year. Not that he had anything to prove per se beyond what this entire team has to prove at this point, getting to January and doing something. But, you know, you saw the strides early on where you thought, okay, this is looking promising and this is a different passing game. And then it went away. And I mean, the injuries on the O-line, as you mentioned, I mean, the running game not being, you know, it looked good statistically, but it wasn't the special historic brand of running the football 2 years ago, or even the end of 2020 when they really got going. So it was just, you came out of the season with a lot of unknown. And when you're talking about investing, not that the Ravens are doubting Lamar Jackson in the big picture. But when you're talking about whether you're going to invest $75 million guaranteed, $85 million guaranteed, $100 million guaranteed, however you're going to structure it, however it's going to play out, it was a season that left you wanting from an evaluation standpoint and from a lack of success standpoint. So they'll get it done. It's just going to be a matter of, I thought for sure a year ago, if you told me that they wouldn't have this done at this point, I would have been surprised and I would have said, okay, they'll definitely get it done this offseason. I still think they will at some point between now and September, but I don't have quite the same amount of conviction and confidence that they will get it done before the 2022 season, which, you know, that's not a situation you want to be in from a big picture standpoint, but we'll see how it plays out. Lamar, it's cut from a different cloth, and I mean that in a complimentary way in how he plays the game. Maybe it pertains that way a little bit to how he does business. So I hope it works out for him from a personal standpoint. I really do, even if I don't agree with him, you know, foregoing having an agent at this stage of his career.
Going to be a busy month around here, one way or another. We might have some baseball. We might not have some baseball. We're going to have some March Madness, but not some Maryland March Madness, at least thus far. We do have the Coppin State games on. We'll have the MEAC going on around here. Big shout out to Juan and the crew. And so we had a Terps reunion over the weekend. We had a Blast reunion over the weekend. Luke and I are going to have a reunion with baseball at some point this week as well. All of it brought to you by our friends at Raskin Global. Leonard Raskin, managing money and managing the American dream. You can learn more about all that he does and all that they do at Raskin Global. You can also hear us around here. And of course, Luke and I contribute to Dennis's World on Thursday, the Dennis Colazzo show from 3 until 5 each and every Thursday. And of course, heard again on Sunday mornings around here doing some of our best work and all of our stuff now up on our YouTube channel and available at WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, where we never stop talking Baltimore positive.